Herzlich willkommen zu Super Queer, der Podcast. Heute mit einer besonderen Folge. Ich habe einen Gast, Courtney, und sie hat in München das queere Bar-Projekt gestartet. Und darüber möchte ich heute mit ihr sprechen. Die Episode wird auf Englisch sein, weil Courtney ist Amerikanerin. Genau, dann hey Courtney, I'm happy to have you here. I would like you to introduce yourself and then we'll talk about the project.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me and the invitation, particularly in English. I really appreciate. Yeah, I'm Courtney. I moved here from New York City 9 years ago. I'm originally from the Washington, D.C. area, but I call myself a New Yorker all the same.
All right. So you came to Germany, and what happened? Like, how did you get to moving to Germany from New York to where you are now, like with the idea of we need a queer bar and I'm going to do it?
Yeah, what a journey. I really wanted to leave the U.S. at the time. I'd been living in New York for a long time, and it's a really difficult city to have a great time. You have to earn so much money. So I really wanted a kind of a slower pace of life and better cost of living and these kind of things. And the best way to get out at the time was to apply to a study program. So I did. I got accepted at the TU master's program studying nutrition and biomedicine, which I enjoyed very much because this is my background as a nutritionist. And I really just loved it here as soon as I arrived. Everything is just a slower pace. People really, you know, enjoy their time off. There's a good work-life balance. It's just not the constant rat race of New York City.
Yeah, I heard it's really fast-paced over there.
Yeah, it's exhausting. It's so exhausting. And I had enough.
Oh, yeah. Understandable.
Yeah. I'm also someone who I have a chronic illness. I have chronic fatigue syndrome. It's also called ME/CFS. So I'm a tired person pathologically. So it's very hard for me to match my energies with a city that's so fast paced, particularly as I got older. I knew that New York was never going to be the city for me to get old in. So here is a much better fit for my energy levels.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
All right. So how did you come up with the idea of founding a queer bar?
Yeah, so when I first moved here, I was seeking a queer community because I moved to a little college town in Freising, and most of my classmates were much younger than I am and coming from different countries. So I went to meetup.com and sought out some queer meetup, and I found one, and it was the only one in Munich called International Queer Women's Meetup. And I started going to meetups on the weekends or whenever I could, and found a community and made great friendships and just really loved the experience hanging out with my peers. And we would go to all the parties and just hang out and just have drinks or dinner. It was really nice. And yeah, a lot of years passed. The pandemic happened, which really put all meetups and all kinds of similar meetups into a pause. People were using Zoom to try to connect, which just wasn't quite the same thing. So after the lockdowns, I wanted to reinvigorate this meetup. A lot of the organizers and members had moved away, and there just wasn't anybody taking the lead on it anymore. So I decided I want to do this. I want to reinvigorate it, bring it back. And I did. I guess that was back 4 or 5 years ago now. And everyone was really anxious to just have this again after lockdowns and pandemic, to have social interactions again. Yeah. So the attendance was very good at the beginning, and it just started to grow and grow and grow. And I think when I was doing it really actively, we were doing 4 or 5 meetups a month.
Wow, that's a lot.
It was a lot. It is a lot, yes.
But it shows how very important it is to people to have this kind of space to meet up with people who are alike and to feel safe with, obviously, because it was a safe space for you that you were looking for and you found, and then you decided, hey, I really want to give back to the community. That's what you said before. We were talking before this a little bit, and put my energy and heart in it, and build something new and give back, and also like, yeah, everybody's profiting from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people probably think like, why does she do it? I have like two other jobs. I'm so busy. I don't really have time and I don't have energy. Yeah. But why I kept doing it and why I keep doing it is because it's been so rewarding for me just to see the connections that are made, the friendships that are made, sometimes relationships are made. And I feel like I facilitated that by creating the safe space for people to come together for that to happen. And that makes me feel really good.
And that's a lot. I mean, it means the world to so many people. So that's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this process, I just was listening to everybody and what they wanted, what they needed, what they were missing. And that's really where this bar project started to simmer and germinate. And then I watched the Lesbian Bar Project Germany episode, the Flinta episode on RTL. And I just saw that, wow, there's a huge gap here. I mean, all of Germany only has 3 lesbian bars.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
No.
even though we have cities like Berlin and Cologne, where lots of queer people gather, like probably much more visible than in Munich. Mm-hmm. But in Munich, we don't have anything like this. I know we have a couple of gay bars, but like gay in the sense of for men. And at least in my experience, often women are not so much welcome there, like tolerated maybe, but not in big groups. One time I had an experience. I was there with 5 or 6 friends of mine, all women, and we were in a gay bar, and they very unpolitely told us that this is a space for men and not for women, and we can have finished this drink, but then they would like us to go because it's a bit crowded and we're not supposed to take this space. And that was quite shocking. I never went back to that place. It was very unwelcoming. And there's no queer bar, like queer in the sense of all kinds of people. There's no Flinta bar, and there's no bar for women to really feel 100% safe, especially if you're a queer woman.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate to hear that, but it's not the first time I'm hearing stories like that. Yeah, I've just been listening to people's experiences through the whole Flinta spectrum, and there's a huge gap here. People are really needing this space. And somebody has to do it. Why haven't we had one here? You know? And
nobody did it.
Yeah. Through this process, I did a lot of research, obviously, and I learned that we haven't had a space here for queer women since 2012. Mm. And even before that, like, Munich used to be a pretty vibrant city for all queer life and nightlife, thanks to Freddie Mercury, who lived here for a long time and popularized a lot of places that still exist. But it was also quite a hub for queer women back in the day, too, but before I arrived. Mm. But I learned all this history, and it's like, why not now?
Why is it gone?
Why can't we have it again?
Yeah.
And particularly after the pandemic, I really just saw the whole city kind of explode with new industry. Yeah. Like, there's new pop-ups, there's new shops, there's new restaurants. I mean, I remember a time when I moved here where I could go out to dinner and I never had to make a reservation.
Oh, that's long gone.
That is long
gone.
It's
not possible. Even during the week, it's very difficult. Maybe if you're just 2 people, you might be lucky, but well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I felt like after the pandemic, there was just this new invigoration of commerce and industry in the city. And I thought, why can't I do it? You know, why can't we do it? And we're doing it.
It's so interesting because I remember so many conversations with friends that I have, and the idea, we need a bar, came up so many times, just nobody ever did it. So what's the difference? What have you planned? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, so it's a pretty crazy endeavor, right? I'm not massively wealthy or anything like that. I don't have some secret backer or investor behind me. I don't have wealthy parents supporting me. So the best idea for me was to crowdfund. Mm-hmm. And I had the confidence to do that because I'd already created this community with Meetup. And we have over 1,000 people in the Meetup. Of course, from the Meetup, there's other groups that are associated with it. We have different WhatsApp groups. We're also associated with similar groups in the city, like Sapphics in Munich, mm-hmm. or Queer in Munich, some of these other groups. So I felt like I had the people to really make this crowdfunding project possible, because crowdfunding really works with grassroots, you know, everyone giving small donations, not necessarily a few people giving gigantic donations. So I thought crowdfunding would be a good approach to this, to, and also a gauge to see how viable or how interested people are in it.
True.
And it worked.
Nice. Yeah. You met the goal.
Yeah. So we raised over 30,000 euros
wow.
for this project, which is about a quarter or so, or a third of the total project budget, mm-hmm. Which has just been fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's really nice. But you've put a lot of work in it, obviously, because I can tell from my perspective, everybody I know in the community knows of the project and knows of the crowdfunding and knows that it worked. So the networking is working.
And that's good to know.
I think it was on Munich Pride. I've been handed some like little QR codes with the name. The topic cannot pass you by if you are in the community, and that means that you've done everything right.
I'm glad that you say that, because that was my intention.
Yeah.
I succeeded,
You did.
And it really would have not been possible without my team members. And these were just three people who I didn't know. We didn't really have any mutual friend connections either. They just found me on Instagram, thought the project was amazing, and volunteered out of the goodness of their heart.
Nice.
With their skills, because mm-hmm. I am not good at everything.
Yeah.
I'm actually not great at social media marketing, and I'm not a designer and all of these things. So huge shout out to Anita and Anne and Julia for like getting us over the finish line. They brought their unique skill set to the project, and I really could not have done it without them. They were tremendous. And they're the reason why everybody in the city knows about this project.
Nice.
So I'm very grateful.
Big thank you from me to you and your team. I think it's a really cool project.
Yeah.
So what are the next steps?
So the only obstacle I have now is finding just the right location for our bar.
Which is not a small obstacle, I imagine.
It is not. It seems like it is, but it is not. It's actually proving quite difficult. Of course, the bar ideally has to be in the Glockenbach Viertel around Gärtnerplatz. It has to be, I think, in the historic queer neighborhood of Munich. I think it's important for profitability, but I also think it's important for longevity.
Yeah.
You know, I want this project to be more than me. You know, this is for the community. This needs to be there longer than I'm around, you know, that's the goal. So finding a location in that area is difficult. It's a very expensive neighborhood. It's a very competitive neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's also a neighborhood where it's very hard to find information about what's available and what's not and how to get in. But I'm working on it.
All
it's
right.
really quite challenging.
So if anybody hears this and knows of something, please reach out.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning most of all. You know, it's word of mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, just any real estate in Munich, as we all know, we live here. It's very, very hard to find an apartment. It's good if you know somebody who knows somebody. And it's the same thing in the real estate market.
Yeah. It's like a little bit like winning the lottery, just that you have to pay for it.
Yeah. But I'm ready to go. I mean, all of the funding and financing is in place. I barely had to pitch the project at all to Stadtsparkasse. They were already just so excited about the project.
Oh, really? That's
which nice. Has been really interesting to learn. Like, I met a lot with the city before I even launched the crowdfunding campaign. Mm-hmm. I was meeting with the Munich crowdfunding office, the Munich startup office, the IHK, Stadtsparkasse, just to get feedback and to pitch the project. And everyone, you know, I'm dealing primarily with white straight men in all of these places, but everyone
very bureaucratic places.
Yes,
too.
Very bureaucratic, very heteronormative. But everyone was so enthusiastic about this project and on board to support it.
Wow, that's so good to hear. It's very relieving for me to hear.
So the city is just so ready for this, and also through the crowdfunding project, we got so much media attention from Süddeutsche, from BR, Abendzeitung, other media platforms. So the city is ready for this.
Yeah.
And actually some of the feedback I got from the media was, what's taken so long?
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Like, why don't we have this already? Obviously the city needs this. Like, What took so long? So that's kind of the opinion of outside of our community.
And what are your reply to that question?
Well, it's just about having someone to take the reins, you know, and take the risk.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a risk-free endeavor.
Of course.
So I'm up for the challenge.
Yeah. Okay. So once you have a place where you can establish the bar, you have the crowdfunding money, but you said it's just about a quarter of the budget. But will this be enough once you have a space to get the bar started?
Yeah, so the crowdfunding money basically covers the deposit on the on the space, because the rent is so high in that neighborhood, and might help with some of the initial licensing and paperwork I have to do. Stadtsparkasse has agreed to finance the rest of the project, renovations and all of that. I am working actually, or I'm connected to some interior designers.
Nice.
From Nuremberg, who are part of our queer community, who reached out to me, who want to help with the renovations, and threw out the idea of creating like a Flinta renovation team.
Oh, cool.
Which would be really fun. Nice. You know, we have, and I think that would be great to get the community together to paint, you know, to
hang up pictures. It's a project on its own. Nice.
Mm-hmm. So that's also a plan. And
you
a lot of
document
people,
it.
A lot of people have, volunteered for this already. We have a lot of handy people in our community.
Cool. Nice.
We have lots of skills, and I'm all about that, you know, supporting our unique talents and skill set. And yeah, actually, there's a journalist who did throw the idea of a documentary through the building and the creation of it.
I would watch it.
So that's probably, that's probably gonna happen too. Yeah, but I don't have the information on that one yet.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, wow, that sounds really nice. So I'm sure you have like a lot of vision to what the bar could look like, and what's kind of the concept of it. Because I like, before we were starting this episode, we were talking a little bit, and we said that there are queer parties or parties for queer women in Munich, but it's all like more of a party theme and less spaces where you can just meet up, have a chilled atmosphere, and meet up with friends or maybe meet new people and just talk a little bit, have a drink or maybe a snack, whatever. So what's your idea for it?
Yeah. So the city already has a okay Flinta party scene, and we also have community centers, no question. But the what's in between is definitely missing, something in between that. So I want to create a bar space that is exactly that. It's not party every weekend. I want to try to create something for everybody as best as one can. You can't do that, of course, 100%. But you want to have an atmosphere that is fun and has music and a good vibe and dancing maybe on the weekend. But then you also want to have a space that's quiet, like on a Sunday afternoon where you can come have a coffee.
Yeah.
You know, or watch a women's football match.
Yeah. That would be so cool.
Yeah. So definitely public viewing of sports, public viewing of Princess Charming, Eurovision.
I would be there.
Very, very important to
nice.
Me.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, with the meetup, I'm an event organizer. I've been planning events for this meetup for years, and all kinds of different events. And one thing that was very important with me, with my meetup, is to create events for all kinds of people.
Yeah.
Not just let's go to a party or let's have beers after work. Mm. There's a huge percentage of our community that is not drinking alcohol anymore, that wants quiet environment, that wants something different. And I want to cater to that as well. So I want to have nights where it's quieter, where you can come after work and you can enjoy non-alcoholic cocktails that are actually really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you can have open mic nights or poetry nights, or, you know, all kinds of different types of events that really cater to what our community is.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Wants.
So you could have like different events on different nights, and so you can cater to a diverse community, and hopefully there is something for everybody.
Yeah, as best as I can. 100% is obviously difficult to achieve, but I really think that's important to try to get. So for example, there's two things in particular that I know that I want to do. I really, this city has a huge population of older queer women. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like 60 plus.
Yeah.
And they remember the days in Munich when we had lesbian bars in space from their youth. And I want to really create a space where they can come again. Because I don't think that the older queer community of women feel welcome maybe in these places with a bunch of young people.
Yeah, I understand that.
So I want to have a night that's just for them. I want to actually call it Owl Night.
Owl Night, like Eule?
Yeah, Owl stands for Old Wise Lesbians.
Oh, wow. It's a nice abbreviation.
This term actually comes from an old zine from the queer community, I think, in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of lesbian zines that were produced, and I saw this, and I was like, wow, that's a great acronym for a night, you know. Respect, you know, what we came through and what they've been through and their experience, and we can learn a lot.
And what they have done for us,
yes,
too.
Yes, so I want to create a space where they feel welcome. That's very important to me. I also realize that a huge percentage of our population of queer community, the whole queer community, is neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I want to create an evening where those kind of people will come out, because I think they really struggle with when there's a lot of noise and stimuli. What if we have silent disco or just quiet night without super loud music, and you can come and read a book?
Yeah.
You know, so that's definitely two groups in our community that I'm very aware of, and I want to create a space for them.
That's cool. I really don't know of any other bar that has that kind of awareness for those groups of people. Also not in the heteronormative world, which is like 99% of what is around us. So I think it's really cool that you have that in mind, and I'm pretty sure that it would work.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, it brings up a big question. It's like, lesbian bars have a history of failing throughout time.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
And yeah, I've done a lot of research on this and like looked at the reasons and asked the questions, and I don't want to fail, right? I really want to beat the odds. So the odds are against us historically. And the main reasons that these spaces fail are gender pay gap, which is here to stay. I don't think it will ever go away. Men will always earn more money than women. The other big thing is gentrification of neighborhoods, which favors, you know, more traditional families, traditional businesses that cater to traditional families and don't want to see like anything that's abnormal, which is us, right? We're queer. We're not fitting their norms. So those are the two big factors, I think, that have made these spaces struggle. And also, I've learned recently, like since the pandemic, within the past 5 or 6 years or so, there's been a resurgence of lesbian bars and lesbian spaces throughout the country, but particularly in the US. And a lot of them have failed. And it's like, well, what's happening now?
Yeah.
You know? And some of the reasons that I'm reading that these spaces are failing now is because they're too cis and too white.
Yeah, okay.
And that's not what I want anyway. Yeah. But, you know, when you think about who your community is and who are your target audiences in your community, if you cater to them, we can prevent these things, right?
Yes. At least you can try. You
can try.
And try to always, like, if you see, okay, this isn't working, maybe we need something else, you can always adjust. So it's kind of a lesson that's going to be learned. So.
Right, right. And, you know, Munich is such a diverse international city. My meetup is an international meetup. I'm an international in this city, and I want to bring that experience to this bar. Like, it's very important to me. And in that way, it will be diverse. I hope it won't be too cis or too white either. Like, we need to celebrate our differences and come together. Particularly in the current political times we live in, it's incredibly important. But having that in my mind as part of how the business will run is very important for me for making it work and lasting. That's the hope.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be a safe space, particularly not only for white cis people, but for all kinds of people with their own experiences that they bring. And I think what we have in common is that we all want a safe space. The important thing is that it's still not safe for everybody inside of the community if it's too white or too cis and if those people are not aware. So I think it's really, really good that you have that in mind and that you're trying to prevent having this very, very cis white community coming and others may not feel included. So yeah, that's exciting. I hope it will work.
I sure hope so too. Yeah. I mean, I'm bringing some business sense into it as an entrepreneur, and I want it to succeed. And I'm always aware of, I'm always looking at why places fail.
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't, you know?
Yeah.
We're here. We're not going anywhere. It's a myth that we don't go out. It's a myth that we don't drink, you know?
Yeah. Those are the stereotypes about women.
Mm-hmm.
So some people think that queer bars for women or Flinta are not working or don't work because Flinta or women, if you want to speak in a very binary way, they don't like to go out. So I don't know, what do you say to those stereotypes?
Yeah, I think this is a sexist myth that needs to go away. And if you look at the actual data, there's many surveys out there here in Germany and also in the US. We do want to go out. It's just we don't have spaces for us. You know, we would go out if we felt safe in our spaces. And actually, there's also data showing that the lack of these spaces actually contributes to poor mental health and senses of loneliness and depression. So we really need these spaces. All queer people need a space, particularly queer women in Flinta.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I already said that also before when we were talking that myself, I like to go, when I go out, I really like to go to queer parties because I feel safest there. I feel like I have the most freedom there. And I don't really go to heteronormative clubs a lot. But when I do, I always feel that the vibe is different than in queer spaces. And it doesn't matter if it's a queer space with cis men. But in heteronormative spaces, it just feels different. I had it's a good story. Like I was with a group of my friends, female friends, on Pride in Hamburg. And one friend of mine, she is hetero and it was her first Pride. So she went with five lesbians and had a really, really good time. And we were walking with a demonstration and it was a big crowd, really, really crowded. Everybody was dancing. Some people were drinking and she had so much fun. And she said, wow, usually I feel anxiety in those kind of crowds. And here I just feel safe. Like I feel the vibe is so different. I've never experienced this before. And it was so interesting for me to hear because that's the reason why I preferably like to visit queer spaces, especially if it's a party kind of vibe. And I told her, like, well, think about what's different here. And maybe, you know, everybody can think about it for themselves. Because if it was the same scene, but at Oktoberfest, the vibe would be so different. Like, and I think that everybody knows what I mean when I say this.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I feel that queer spaces for me are very important. And I know I'm not the only one. So I'm really looking forward to the bar. So
yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point. And yeah, we all experience this, but I don't think maybe we put it into words exactly what it is or what this vibe is that we're feeling. And I didn't either, I don't know, until recently. And again, talking with other people, particularly other people from other countries, particularly, you know, East Europe or countries where it's really unsafe to be queer. Mm. It's also unsafe to be female. And yeah, it makes you think, like, You're in an environment where alcohol is consumed. A woman or a trans person or any Flinta, anyone in the Flinta spectrum is not going to feel safe to also drink and consume and perhaps lose their inhibition in such a space because it could open them up to sexual violence.
Yeah.
And that's like such a big thing. And I think it's ingrained in us through just growing up.
Yeah.
As a female in this world and having to always be on our guard. And I think it's even more ingrained for people from other cultures who really have to be safe about this. And you know, what a burden to carry. And imagine being in a space where you can drink two beers and get a little tipsy and feel safe.
Yeah.
It's such a simple thing that I think people in the hetero world just don't understand.
No, you know? Because they don't experience.
They don't experience it.
And I hear a lot that people say, oh, I don't know why we need this pride thing anymore. Because, I mean, everybody's equal here. Everybody has the same rights. And I don't know, why do you have to do this? Like, why do you have to be so much in our faces? And I think that's like, you kind of made the point yourself. Like, why do you feel it's in your face? Just because once a year we have a demonstration and we remind people that we're still not, we don't have equal rights. I mean, in Germany, we're in a very privileged situation in comparison to most other countries, of course. But that doesn't mean that we have to stop fighting to be equally treated in front of the law, but also in society, which is even like, this is what we experience in our everyday life, mm-hmm. that people look weird at you if you kiss another woman in public, for example, or somebody may even be commenting it, be it some sexualizing, objectifying way, or maybe even insulting, or it happens that people get beat up on the street, and this is like, the tendency is that those incidents become more, like, it's not declining, which is giving me a very, very worried feeling. And I think that's like, I don't know how you feel about it, but
absolutely. I mean, and every year, Oktoberfest, what happens? There's like many sexual assaults, yes. and harassments that happen. And we have a special area that's a safe zone for women.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to go away. That's not going to change. And because of things like this, we need safe spaces for women, for all women, but, you know, especially queer women and particularly trans people, too.
Yes.
And it's not going to go away. It's our reality, and it's getting worse, probably.
Yeah.
And until that, you know, there is no equality as long as that still exists.
Yeah.
And this is the conversation we should be having about why we need these spaces. Yeah. And we shouldn't be saying, oh, we don't need these spaces because queer women can just drink wherever they want.
Yeah, yeah, that's what a lot of people think.
Yeah.
But those are people who never experienced what it's like, even though we are still privileged by comparison to other countries, but we live here.
Yeah.
And of course, we want to feel perfectly safe here, wherever we go. And in an ideal world, we wouldn't need a queer bar. We would feel perfectly safe in any bar because we are safe, but that's not the case. And we feel it, that's the one thing, but also statistics tell us that our feeling is true.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and if you look at where these bars are in the world, it's very interesting. The most vibrant queer communities are in cities where it's most dangerous to be queer.
That's very interesting.
So, like, Istanbul has a very vibrant queer community. Lots of Asian countries, Japan, South Korea, very, very vibrant queer community, even though it's very stigmatized there or even dangerous. So, and it just tells us when we need it most, we come together and we build the spaces.
Yeah.
Because we have to.
Yeah.
No one's going to build these spaces for us. We have to do it. And, you know, we can't take this thing for granted. Yeah, like you're saying, we live in Germany. It's we have a lot of privilege here, but we can't take for granted how important these spaces are,
yes.
especially now with the political environment and the way things are happening here and the far right shifts. Now is the time, actually,
exactly.
for us to come together and build this space for ourselves, because no one's going to do it for us.
Yes. And also, privilege can be taken away.
Yes.
It's not for granted. And so we really need to stick together. And I think that, like, if there's a space like this bar, this can also be a place for, you know, meeting up and talking about those topics, things that we all experience, and we can learn from each other. And maybe, I don't know, more small projects can come from it. Groups of people find each other and have a platform that they share. So that's really nice.
Absolutely. I mean, this is about building a community. And, you know, I have. And through this crowdfunding project, we've built a community and we'll continue to build this community. And when we are a community together, we can make real change in the world, right? We're strong together. We're strong if we lift up each other's talents and abilities. we can achieve most anything. And through history, all of these spaces have always been places for that. They've been places for organizing, for resistance, particularly in the U.S. during the Stonewall riots. Yeah. Even before that, you know, the first lesbian bar in the U.S. was in San Francisco, a place called Mona's. Let's see if I can get the year correct. I want to say it was 1950, mm-hmm. and it was open for over a decade, I think maybe 15 years. But that was a time where it was completely illegal to be queer.
Yeah.
And these spaces were subject to police raids all the time. And what did that community do? They actually were protected by the Italian mafia.
That's interesting. How come?
It was protection from police raids. And also they had the money to support the project because at that time women weren't allowed to get business loans and control their own money and have their own bank accounts. So you had to do it through your husband, right? Mm. So these were like, you know, backdoor secret kind of places. But they thrived for years and years and years. So we always find a way to come together and be strong together and, you know, fight yeah. against the powers that be. And I think we're really at a point now. I mean, it's always been like this for us throughout history, but now it's like, it's getting pretty scary, particularly in my country.
Yeah, true.
I know so many people that are queer that are fleeing the U.S. right now because of safety issues. So
yeah,
it's
they're stripped from their rights.
Yeah, like, it's really a time for us to come together and start building.
Yeah.
And our communities don't have to be bar spaces. It can be as small as a meetup yeah. or a Stammtisch or whatever it is. But we really need to be a strong community right now.
Yeah. And, you know, we will not go away. We are here. We are here to stay. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens, it can get a little harsh. But people have done it before us. And I think that we are very committed to doing it again if we have to. Hope it won't be that much of a struggle. But it's better we are prepared for anything and yeah, come together. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easy in today's times to be really down and negative about the state of the world. And I mean, everything that's going on around us, you know, multiple wars, the economy, I mean, good grief. And I think a lot of people may be surprised by me launching this project because of that. Like the economy is terrible, you know,
yes.
The world around us is really unstable right now. Why create such a project right now? Why take on such a risk? But I think now is exactly the time to do such a thing.
Yeah.
We absolutely need to. We have such uncertain times right now, and we have to not be complacent about it.
Yeah.
You know, and sitting here, you know, not doing anything is not going to be helpful for us. Now is the really time to take action. I know a lot of people, their way of taking action is to be in the street and protesting. For me, taking action is building,
yeah.
you know, community building, creating.
Yeah.
That's my talent. That's my approach. And that's what I intend to do. So in that way, this bar is so much more than just, you know, a profit building thing or a piece of, you know, new Munich real estate. Like this means a lot to me
yeah.
in that bigger scheme of things. And I think we have the opportunity as a city to make a statement as well. In creating this space and creating this community. So that's why I really want to be loud as I can be in the opening of this, you know, on social media. I'm going to do more interviews like this, hopefully, and really expand the reach because we are making a statement here in the city
yeah.
by creating this space and saying, here we are. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We need safe spaces.
Let's put the word out. We cannot do it enough. So I'm really happy that, you're brave enough. I really have to say it takes a lot of courage to do such a project because, as I said, a lot of people have thought of it and had the idea but never really, you know, pursued it. And I have a lot of respect for that, really. So thank you. I can tell that you're really putting your heart into it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably what it takes. To
yeah.
make such a thing happen. And I think that's what's going to be the important thing, why it's going to work.
I hope you're right. Yeah. Yeah. My heart and soul is going into this. Blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing easy is worth doing, right? I mean, I didn't think it was going to be easy, and it hasn't been.
Yeah.
But I'm here for it. And yeah, I am brave.
Yeah. And I hope you, like, have all the support that you will need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if you call out, if you need anything specific, there's always going to be people who have something, a skill or whatever.
Yeah, already getting that. Like, the community has been fantastic. I get lots of messages on every week, people reaching out like, oh, this is my skill, I want to help you with this, you know, or I have this contact or this idea, or just people just saying, wow, thank you. And
that was so nice to hear.
It's really nice, yeah. It feels really good to get those messages, and I really appreciate them because, yeah. When I started this project, I was doing it completely alone, and it felt like really lonely. I mean, now I have a team, which helps a lot. But yeah, getting this feedback has really helped, because it's hard to stay motivated when you're working on a difficult project, right?
Of course.
And yeah, things don't always go as planned. So these kind words have really helped motivate and keep the momentum going for me and for the whole team. So really appreciate the community's feedback.
That's really nice. And really, really heartwarming to hear that the community is so ready to support and put some sweat in themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. So is there anything that's important to you that you want to share other than what you already shared?
Oh, I don't know. Well, yeah. So the only obstacle now is finding the perfect location.
Yeah.
I want to be a little choosy about the location, right? Because I have this idea for it needs to be an event space, not just a bar space. It can't be a small kneipe. It needs to be a little more spacious to allow for some room for us to celebrate queer joy and show off our queer talents through events. So, but as soon as I have that, this project is going to move very, very quickly. And I hope to be open by the first quarter of 2026.
Oh, yeah, that's an ambitious goal.
It is, but I think it can happen.
Yeah. But it's good to have ambitious goals.
Yes.
I'm crossing everything that I have for you.
This whole thing is ambitious, yes.
Yeah, it is, but it's nothing wrong with that. So it worked well until here, so I'm sure it will be successful.
Yeah, that's the plan, and people can follow along on Instagram. It's Frau Bar MUC. We also have an email marketing email newsletter on fraubar.de to follow along. So I encourage everyone to follow along. It's going to be really exciting when we get going. We have lots of ideas actually in place for the opening and the renovations and stuff to get people really excited. Some like guerrilla marketing techniques that we're going to do, and lots of freebie merchandise and stuff like that. So definitely follow along online.
Yeah, do that.
And there'll be updates soon.
Very good. So, yeah, I think, that's a really, really nice project. And I'm looking forward to coming over to the bar or whatever you need before it. I'm in to support this. And I think at this point we can wrap it up. Who knows, maybe in a few months we'll talk again and see what happened. And yeah, it's very exciting. Thank you that you came and have this conversation with me. We've never met before. You came to my apartment and didn't hesitate, so appreciate it a lot. And good luck for everything. And thanks.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right. So see you next time.